for now, we will stay with radio. And I'm joined in studio this evening by Martin Block, the Director of Programming, by Patsy McGarry, our Head of News, and I'll be joined from time to time by colleague Mark Costigan. So I welcome you all, gentlemen. Let's just go around the table first and outline our own experiences in radio down through the years. And I'll start with the Director of Programming, Martin. Welcome.
Well, yeah. Well, thanks very much, Neil. It's very interesting, actually, because I got into radio many years ago by a complete error, stuck for something to do, and worked my way up through the news team. And I then got the bug, and I was bitten by it. And I decided then to do something about it. I've been living in Ireland for 26 years, since 1963, though I was originally born in England. And I went over to the London School of Broadcasting. I spent 6 months in the London School of Broadcasting in a whole wide area, concentrating on music programming, news, journalism, and then I got involved in script writing and image writing for radio stations. Came back to Dublin, and I worked on a series of Dublin radio stations at the time. And it's from there that I worked on Q102 as the program controller of Q102 for over 5 years. And I thoroughly enjoy it. The interesting thing is, and I suppose for listeners, is that actually I come from a very much a sort of a speech background in terms of radio, because my radio listening is things like RT Radio 1 and Radio 4. And I find it very, very stimulating sort of radio. But there are many, many art forms to radio. Capital radio is a particular art form that we here in the programming department have developed. It's aimed at the 15 to 35-year-old with an upper limit of 49-year-old, 60% of which will be music, news, current affairs, and light entertainment features when it's all developed out. And that that's just one art form. We are hoping to develop that and to be very, very successful at that. There are many art forms to radio. There are news and talk stations. There's easy listening. There are some fantastic, you know, radio programs, some quizzes and plays. That's not our forte, and that's not something that we're necessarily going to be concentrating on. But the area that we're going to be concentrating on are related to the target market of 15 to 35. And obviously, there are listeners out there this evening who are in that age bracket, or up to 49, or anybody, in fact, who has a point to mention that they'd like to see programs on this radio station that are going to be within inside the very theme that we're working on. I'd love to talk to them.
It certainly is a challenge. You yourself, though, it's an amazing facet, or indeed an amazing business, radio. Where else can you get an opportunity to get so much work satisfaction out of a day's work? Could you ever see yourself leaving the business at all? Have you ever put yourself in a picture whereby you weren't in radio?
That's... well, I almost wasn't in radio. No, I tell you, as I said, over the last 10 years, I've become so excited by radio. I eat, drink and sleep radio. It's a medium where it's so much fun to work in that there's great pleasure in, you know, in getting up in the morning and creating things and being involved in what is happening, particularly Capital Radio now, where we have this opportunity to portray a sense of what's happening in Dublin musically, from the news point of view, features around the city. And we hope to be looking for innovative ideas, because ideas just can't be created by one or two people. They have to be created by a team of people, and it's very, very difficult to keep on coming up with new ideas. We hope to develop a program called Feedback, and eventually we'll be in a situation where listeners will be able to phone us up and to say, yes, I don't like that particular program you're doing, I'd like to see this. And we're going to have a research department that will investigate it.
You spoke of a team, and that essentially what it is, and I want to bring up that topic of teamwork and pulling together with Patsy McGarry in a moment. But for now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take our first call. 780-001 is the number. Good evening. Welcome to Capital. Hello. We're still ironing out a few bugs. Hello, good evening. Welcome to Capital. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to that. We were talking of teamwork, though, and a man who has been leading a team for, what, I suppose, 15 or 16 hours now, and you're deadbeat from the day's work. Patsy McGarry, the head of news. What kind of a day did you have, Patsy? A tough one.
Well, do you need to ask? You were with us throughout most of it.
I was with you in spirit a lot of the time.
It was a good day. I mean, inevitably, being the first day, it was particularly tough because we were all trying to get used to each other, our work practices, and the whole methodology that goes into presenting and producing a news program. News programs, I suppose you could call them, twice an hour, and headlines before the hour, and the Newsbeat program this evening. But just listening to Martin there and how he talked about how he got into radio and the bug bit him approximately 10 years ago, well, I'm afraid I'm not about that long. In my case, it happened 6 years ago. A friend of mine was working in Sunshine at the time, and she was in the news area. And we knew each other for quite some time, and Kathy Cregan, who is now in Capital as well, was going on holiday, and I was asked to fill in for Kathy for 2 weeks. And I went in, and I got the bug.
What did you do before that, then, before you got into radio?
Well, I was one of those dull people. I was a teacher.
Really?
And I had been doing that for quite some time, teaching English and history mainly, a smattering of economics, at which I was useless, I hasten to add. I have no taste for figures of that sort.
Did you find it a big commitment, getting out of one and committing yourself to radio full-time?
Not really. I was always very, very interested in journalism. When I was in college, I did quite a bit of it in Galway. I found it very hard to break into mainstream national journalism because I hadn't the connections in the city, I wasn't a member of the NUJ, and I went through this catch-22 situation that so many people find themselves presented with. I went to the five papers in the city anyhow, to be told in each case that I couldn't become a member of the NUJ unless I had some pieces published. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't publish any of my pieces unless I was a member of the NUJ. And fortuitously, I suppose, it worked out in Sunshine because a group of us joined together. I decided to leave teaching after being made a fairly decent offer. I knew what I wanted to do, and got a group of people together, and we set up our own news department, and effectively it became the first independent news department outside of RTE. We operated a very clean operation, worked extremely hard, and most of those people have done very, very well, and deservedly so since.
And you've never looked back?
Many times, Mark. Neil, sorry.
This obviously then is an exciting time for you, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. But a man who I've worked closely with today, I thank you for your contribution to Newsbeat this evening. Mark Costigan, welcome.
We've worked very closely today.
We have indeed. And we pulled it off too.
Well, I think so. Well, we've certainly enjoyed trying to achieve. I mean, it's a great challenge to actually set up a new radio station and in one day to try and set up, about 30 people working together and trying to put together a news team and trying to put together the music side of it and all. And I must say, of course, I'm heavily biased that I think it has worked quite well. Getting back to it's funny because I think we're all getting to know one another even more as we speak now. And I'm amused to hear certain facts about both Martin and Patsy, which I wasn't aware of before. I'm going to jump in at this point and say that Martin said he's 10 years in the business, Patsy says he's 6, well, I'm only 5, so I'm the baby here so far. Perhaps you'll upstage on that one.
I'm afraid I will in a moment. So where did you actually start out? What did you do before you got involved?
Well, I've done various things. I've been a musician, I've been an auctioneer, I've been in various kinds of sales. I've done quite a wide range of different jobs, but almost as my party piece, I tend to relate the story that actually got me into radio at first, which was the fact that I had played music, and as a result of playing rock music, had in fact induced some problems in my hearing. And I can remember at times wondering, the actual thing is tinnitus, where you have a slight ringing in your ear. And I can remember thinking, how can I possibly solve this particular problem? And one day I got this incredible idea that what I should do is I should contact Gayburn, and I should ask him to discuss this topic on the air. And in fact, I did, and they asked me to come down, and I did the Gayburn program. And subsequently, somebody from RTE said to me, we think you would be good on radio, and the whole wheel sort of started going from there. Mm-hmm. So I spent the last 3 years working in RTE, involved in largely light entertainment. And I was very excited with the prospect of the new radio stations coming on the air, and felt inclined to make the move not only to an independent radio station, but also to enter the news team, because, as Martin said earlier on, I think the area of speech is very stimulating. But I suppose, I mean, this is where the discussion can broaden out, and
I just want to remind callers, we have sorted out our problems with the telephone. 780011, 780011 is our number. And obviously this is your hour, or however long we may be here. And it's totally up to you, whatever may be on your mind as far as how you would like to see Capital develop into what facet of radio, or indeed how you'd like it to develop over the next couple of months and indeed years. As for me, and as far as how long one has been in radio or has not been in radio, I'm afraid, if you can we include the part-time and the full-time?
We'll allow that.
All right, well, then it's 11 years.
That's not bad at all. I am
so
impressed.
So I beat Martin by one. So,
and where did you start?
Well, in Cork. I did my first eight in Cork, eight and a half in Cork with ERI, which was probably the big one outside of Dublin, the biggest commercial one outside of Dublin, doing breakfast and talk radio and a little bit of news and stuff like that. And then I went to Canada for close on 2 years, and I worked in the Toronto market there doing breakfast radio up until 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I felt that now is the best time to come back, because if I had left it any later, who knows? I wanted to be in from the inception and from the beginning. So
one extraordinary thing I've noticed here, indeed I know it anyhow, but it becomes very obvious when you're talking in a group like this, all of us came from the pirate background,
indeed,
so to speak,
yeah.
Including Mark, who didn't. He used to work in Nova. He's just left us for the moment. He used to anchor a current affairs program there and did some excellent work at the time. I expect that that particular experience has had a bearing on our own attitudes to broadcasting.
I'm sure that you'd agree as well, Martin, that it is the natural transition from pirate radio, if you like. It's been the training ground for many, many broadcasters.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I am absolutely delighted that this whole pirate situation has been sorted out. And I've got to thank the Independent Radio and Television Commission, and of course the government, for the work that they've done, and tremendous work that they've actually done in such a short period of time. I don't think people realise how difficult it is to actually go through all those submissions that were made for each and every application that the all around the country, and to sift through it and to produce what will be, in a couple of months' time, 22 radio stations throughout the country. It's absolutely fantastic. And I'm delighted now that the whole thing is legal. I look forward to a sort of an era when these stations will produce superb broadcasting with inside their own art form, which they've chosen from their own submission, which they've given to the IRTC.
Just as you were talking there, Martin, I remember reading someplace last January that there were, I think, something like 84 submissions to be gone through, 84 applicants for these 22 franchises to date. There will be 25 in all. And I suppose another matter, I mean, this quite extraordinary too, is that though licenses have been granted since last February, this is the first station to go on the air. It has taken all of this time for stations to get on the air, which is quite remarkable.
Yes, it is. And I mean, obviously, to put a radio station together, it just doesn't happen overnight. We signed our contract about 5 weeks ago, and we've made remarkable progress here into getting ourselves up and running. And obviously, as program director, I'm very interested now into putting the foundation of the radio station together. Well, this is the first thing you do. If you're a builder, you don't go out and build the roof of the house. You build the foundation and you develop out. And it's important to that regard that we start tweaking up what we've done today and what we do over the next 2 or 3 days, and we start broadening rapidly.
So what are your ideal specs as far as the perfect radio station, which is, as a program director, you are interested in? What are the commonest ingredients that you're going to be looking for and exploiting, if you like?
That really is a very, very difficult question to ask, because giving away our sort of ingredients, it's like asking a French chef to give away his special recipe. But all I can say is this, that in our submission, and what we feel, this is backed up by a lot of research, the particular target market which we're going for is that it'll be musically based, about 60% musically based. We've got some top-class DJs. We've got a fantastic team of presenters here. And we will be giving a lot of information and entertainment, because entertainment overall is a very, very important factor. And then an information and news service relating to the target market, which is, the Dublin area, which we've been given the license for.
OK, Okay, just our number once again. I want to return to that point. 780011. Your calls and comments are welcome to call us. This is your program. We'd love to hear from you. You spoke of the use of music and the use of news, and I wanted to ask Patsy something here, because Dave McCarthy called and said that there's no need for news. He says that when we need news, we can read the newspapers. Basically, David thinks that radio should stick to music. Now, obviously, you don't agree.
Well, I'd have to disagree with you, Neil, there. I mean, he has a view, and he has a right to that view. But the people who prepare the law have a different view. And I myself, I'm passionately interested in news. After all, it's not simply my livelihood. It's like a vocation to me. But in the States, there are stations that are exclusively music-oriented and some stations that are exclusively news-oriented. There is no doubt about it. There is a market for such stations there. It's hard to say whether such stations could survive here. I don't know. However, the law states in this country that we must have a certain amount of news and current affairs in these commercial stations.
Why is that? Why do you think that law was put into force?
I feel it's because the Irish people generally are recognised widely as having an enormous appetite for news, and that's justified if you just listen, for instance, to Radio 1 any day, or reflect on the fact that this city gets something like 14 papers every day, mm-hmm. including our own national papers, and the rest are imports from Britain mainly. We are a very curious people. We like to talk, we like to know about things, and we like to be informed. So whatever about Dave's views on the matter, I do think that view, anyhow, is a minority view in this country.
How difficult do you think you're going to find it? Obviously, it's a daunting task for you and for me and for Mark and the rest of the newsroom to perform up to the scratch that we do want to. Are you apprehensive at all? Or how are you going to tackle it?
Well, there's no doubt about it. It is an enormous challenge. I am heartened by the fact, if you forgive me for saying so in public, that I'm surrounded by some very competent people who are very experienced in the area. And it certainly takes some of the load off my shoulders. But particularly being the first station on the air, we have to solve problems that no stations following us will have to solve. One of the greatest difficulties we had to face was the fact that there was no established agency to supply national and international news. There were people who talked about doing so, but there was no such agency there. And
the onus was put back on you then to an extent.
Well, that is eventually what did happen. We had to fall back on our own resources, mm-hmm. devise means of sourcing national news, international news, and of course local news, which all local stations will have to do anyhow with their own team of journalists. And it has made the job, I suppose, that much more difficult, or, look at it another way, that much more challenging.
True enough. Okay. 780011 is the number. We're standing by at 19 minutes past 10, back after these.
To celebrate the launch of Capital Radio, Thorn are offering an Iowa Hi-Fi system for just $2.99 a week.
Only $2.99 a week?
What's more, if you take it over 3 years, Thorn will also give you a compact disc player absolutely free.
A free compact disc player too?
But that's not all. For as soon as the 3 years are up, the Hi-Fi unit and the compact disc player become yours, lock, stock and barrel.
You mean I own the lot?
Yes. For as little as the weekly cost of a daily paper, you have your very own Iowa Hi-Fi system and compact disc player.
Where can I find this fantastic offer?
You'll find the Thorn showrooms in Rathmines, Finglas, Nutgrove, North Ale Street, Donamead, Northside, Kilnamana and Bray.
Thank you, Thorn.
Thorn, high quality, high service and now Hi-Fi.
For effective, lasting protection. Keeps you fresh and cool when it matters. Available in roll-on or solid or the new pump-action spray. The spray that's ozone-friendly.
To be cool as ice, but warm and nice, trust Mom. Trust Mom.
Peace and Love, the sensational new album from the Pogues, is available now from the Music Machine Bray Shopping Centre. Produced by Steve Lillywhite, Peace and Love features 14 great new songs, including Misty Morning, Albert Bridge. The Pogues, Peace and Love, available now on album, cassette and compact disc from the Music Machine Ray Shopping Centre. Telephone 860-671.
Visit Tony Keeley of Walkinstown Green for a huge range of ladies and gents rally bikes, all at unbeatable prices. Tony Keeley, Walkinstown Green, open till 8 o'clock every night and all day Sunday. Tony Keeley, Walkinstown Green.
Capital Radio. 22 past 10 on this Thursday evening. Your calls and comments are welcome, as I say, on 780011. Martin, you wanted to follow up on a point that Patsy was making.
That's right, yeah, a very interesting point there about, from that last caller there, whether, you know, it should be music radio stations. I mean, one of the plans that Capital Radio have is to make news, or speech, should I say, because it's not all news, but to make that interesting. Previously here in the Dublin market, radio stations were all, you know, normally music. And I think that following on from what Patsy said there, that there is a tremendous interest about what's happening, but it's making it exciting. And it's making speech content interesting for people to listen to. And to that regard, Capital Radio is committed to putting a lot of production into its news and current affairs. It's not just a question of somebody coming on and doing a show like maybe I'm doing today, but where it's very, very well produced, and it's produced to that audience. Mm-hmm. And that's important.
The secret to an extent is, I suppose, to remember that it is a Dublin audience, so therefore you must concentrate very much so on Dublin listeners. Okay, let's try a telephone call now. Just remind you of our number, 780011. Good evening. Hello. Certainly gremlins in the work this evening, gentlemen. But let's try it again. Good evening. Hello. Mm-hmm. I was talking about the fact that it is a Dublin market, so therefore you must concentrate ideally on Dublin. Of course, people want national and international news as well, but up until now, if you take, say, a national radio station that would possibly concentrate a little bit too much on Dublin, they'll obviously alienate somebody down in maybe Limerick or Cork or whatever, and that's something that you don't want to get into, Patsy, obviously.
Don't want to do, certainly, Neil. I mean, our emphasis will be very, very much on our Dublin listeners and our Dublin audience, the approximate 1 million people who live in the Dublin city and county areas. To that degree, we'll be concentrating on very much on local community affairs, local political affairs, etc. But again, as Martin was saying, we'll be trying above all else not simply to gather the material, but to present it in a fashion that is interesting and alive and to our listeners, to men like Dave McCarthy there, who don't like news terribly, but may find it, if it's well produced, may find it interesting to listen to in itself. We'll also, of course, be producing national news and international news. Inevitably, there will be mistakes. Inevitably, particularly at the start, there'll be things that'll have to be tweaked and sorted out, a bit like our telephones tonight. Mm-hmm. all of these things will be sorted out as we go along. It's a learning process for us as much as anything else. We have set out with an idea. We are evolving or aspiring towards it. And hopefully, we will get there. I believe we're determined enough to do so. Mm-hmm.
I know that there have been a couple of spanners in the works in the past 24 hours, but that simply is because you obviously can't set up a radio station and go for a complete news service right off the bat if you...
Well, that's an interesting question. I was hoping you'd ask me that question, because what we've tried to do here is this. We are the only, at the moment, independent news service outside of the national station, RTE. And to that regard, it has been very, very difficult. We weren't satisfied with the other offers of supplying news to us. We didn't think it would fulfill our requirements or be, in actual fact, in depth enough. And to that regard, Patsy has developed this new service. We're getting international news from IRN in Britain. And we are sourcing our own news, national and local news, ourselves. And this service takes such a long time to develop up. What we're hoping to do inside the next few weeks is widen it out rapidly. But we know that there are going to be problems, certainly for the first day, in trying to make sure that these things are all ironed out and to widen it up. But the one thing is that our commitment to honouring our submission, which is our remit in terms of to the IRTC, in terms of its contract, we are totally committed to performing to what we have said in our submission, which is a full new service as rapidly as we can do it. But it does take quite a while to actually put together a new service from scratch, and that's what we've done today.
Do you find it daunting at all, considering you spoke of the market being 18-year-olds through to 35 with a possible end bracket at mid-40s or whatever? That is prime news radio, you feel? Or do you think that it might be maybe more towards just a music policy or whatever? Or do you think you can find a happy medium?
Yes, I think we can. As I said before,
it's a question. Is radio a happy medium?
Yes, I mean, it's all about entertainment. I mean, radio isn't all about just playing music. I think this is the misnomer. It is about entertainment, and entertainment can come in a speech form, can come in any form. Obviously, a lot of people do like music, and we're going to play 65% of our output is music. But we also want to entertain in speech. And I think if we can provide the right form of speech programming and carefully work it in to our presentation style of music, that is where we will win out.
Okay, so there's Newsbeat there now, Patsy. Obviously, we have the bulletins, the 2020 news and that. Where will it develop into? What type of talk or current radio will it develop into?
Well, I feel, I mean, if we're going to take it progressively, the next step will be for us to introduce our main bulletin, which is at 20 to 1, which should happen within the next day or two, probably on Monday. And from there, we will extend to 1 o'clock in the morning. Now, we're still considering whether or not to go 24 hours. There are a number of views on this particular subject. Some people say that you've got a very, and it's true, an extremely small listenership at that time of the night. On the other hand, you are providing a service. But possibly you could use the resources far more effectively by deploying the same resources into your daytime service and therefore refining that service even more. We've yet to decide whether to go full 24 our service with our bulletins. Then we're into the area of developing current affairs programmes, and that is going to be an extremely complex area for us to evolve to and through. I have no doubt it can be done. I mean, programmes of this nature are comparatively easy to produce in the sense that you get a group of people together, a fairly controversial subject, and you set a discussion going. You open the telephone lines, if they're working, and don't cut in.
Which they don't seem
to be. Did to me. That can be done fairly easily. On the other hand, documentary programmings are not that easy to do. But I hate to
and be, they're costly too.
They are costly.
But you must forego the cost, really, for the sake of providing a service, as you say.
Well as that, but of course you have to remember...
Am I being naive?
Not at all, Neil. I'd never say that about you. You wouldn't be on the team if you were. This is a commercial radio station. It has, above all, to survive. Therefore, I mean, we have to take into account costs. I'm not saying that the costs, therefore, are going to rule the roost utterly and completely, but they are a very important factor, as they are in all types of broadcasting, public service or commercial. It may sound negative as if all of this is a sort of a strong, hard uphill haul. Quite the opposite. It's a wonderful opportunity, particularly for a group of young journalists like ourselves, to make an impression, which won't happen overnight, but we're on the right road.
Mm-hmm. It's a slow task, and it's something you must take one step at a time, which I'm sure that both you and Martin are doing. What about specialist programming, then, as far as music is concerned? I know that there's Top 40 in that, but and I know that bebop on the weekends and that. Are you going to take it any further than that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, as I said, we've laid down the foundations of the programming. We will be, with inside the next couple of months, we'll be developing out programs like Irish music programs. And when I mean Irish music programs, it'll be Battle of the Bands programs. We'll be running competitions for new Irish talent to develop them. People who have up to yet not been played on the radio don't get a chance to play because maybe they just haven't been able to break into the charts. And in a way, trying to develop them. We're going to be doing a number of other sort of specialist programs, musical programs, and also light, easy listening programs. One of the features that probably hasn't been highlighted is the Nightcap program, which we're running a prototype on Sunday. So slowly, what we'll be doing is first of all, laying down the foundations, developing it, making sure that we're getting the right feedback from listeners, and that's why it's important. If the phones were working to get in touch with our listeners and to see what they think of it, and after that's been tweaked up, we go on with the next step. It's a phased development. We work up from one plateau and strengthen that, and then work on to the next. So there's a lot of programs which we hope to develop. We're also going to promote fringe theatre, for example, the promotion of playwriting and other aspects of, drama. We hope to develop a soap opera, for example, a young soap opera, and see how that goes. And that could be very interesting. So far, we've had talks with a number of very interested Irish writers who are developing ideas, and we're looking forward to that. And also, as I said, perhaps doing a sort of a capital festival, which will not just be music, it'll be things, it'll be plays and sort of musicals and various different things. We could end up developing a sort of a capital festival week. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to give away too much at this stage, but I'm just trying to say that Capital Radio is not just all contemporary hip music. It is the basis to our music philosophy, but we do diversify, and we'll be doing that very shortly.
All right, in the event of us getting our telephones sorted out, which I hope we do, it's 780011. You spoke of the different types of radio that you want to get into there. What about public service radio? In public service announcements, or maybe a job finder situation, helping people who need work and possibly are finding it difficult to land that job. Would you get into that type of radio at all?
Yes, we are. We're committed to that. Obviously, we couldn't start day one because we haven't had an opportunity to speak to any listeners. We're trying to develop up a listenership. Job finder and various gig guides and entertainment guides that are happening throughout the week. And we'll be informing listeners of what's happening around Dublin. But obviously, until we were in a situation where we got on the air, and to promote these features, you just can't start up. This is the thing. A lot of people don't understand. A job finder's an essential part of communicating and trying to get full employment, if that's possible.
But you must remember, too, that in this particular type of commercial radio, there is an inbuilt public service element. You could argue that the provision of 20% news and current affairs is not natural, if you like, to this particular arena of broadcasting. Through legislation, it is, to a degree, I suppose, imposed upon this area of broadcasting and is essentially a service element in commercial broadcasting in Ireland and will be. Also, an interesting point that a lot of people have overlooked somehow, and that is that whereas the commercial radio stations are obliged to present 20% news and current affairs, RTÉ Radio 2 is not. It could, in effect, if it decided to do so, be a 100% music-led radio station.
Oh, absolutely. I think you're correct in what you've said. And that is part of our public service broadcasting remit, to do 20% news and current affairs. I don't think that's a handicap. I think it's a very, very good thing. As I said, a lot of people are interested in just music radio stations. My personal philosophy about that is that radio is not just music, because you can go out and you can buy some fantastic records which are out on the market today, and you can listen to your favourite songs. Radio is about information, it's about entertainment, and Capital Radio's commitment in that regard is very, very strong.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you're speaking about entertainment and you're speaking about music, and I think at this stage we'll have a tune. 25 to 11.
Starts to sing a lonesome lullaby. It helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
See Police Academy 6 City Under Siege at a cinema near you from Friday.
Transvision Vamp, Velveteen. Velveteen, the number one smash album from Transvision Vamp, now available on album, cassette and compact disc. Velveteen, the hot one from MCA.
Pure blue magic of sound.
Big Sport, equipment for windsurfing and canoeing. Ride the waters and experience adventure with a windsurfer or a canoe. Beginner's packages to get you on the water. Call to Big Sport, Santry Avenue, open Tuesday to Saturday, phone 426-577. Splash out with Big Sport.
Carpet City, Talbot Street, Dublin, Ireland's number one for quality, service and value. All leading brands supplied. Carpets and vinyls fitted by quality craftsmen. Carpet City is Ireland's most modern warehouse. We offer free quotations. So for uptown style at downtown prices, call to Carpet City, Talbot Street. Open 7 days a week.
It's 20 to 11 on this Thursday evening. If you joined us, good evening. I'm Neil Prendival, joined in studio, as I say, by Martin Block, Director of Programming, Patsy McGarry, Head of News, and with the return of my colleague Mark Costigan. Mark, our number actually is 780011. Follow us at the phone, which we hope to wire at. We were speaking a while ago, Mark, about the involvement radio stations should be made get involved in Irish music and the pushing and promoting of Irish bands. Would you think that's you as being a musician yourself?
Yeah.
Mind you, I don't know what you play. Is it guitar?
I play a mean guitar, boy.
Really cooking.
No, I think it is perfectly reasonable for stations, for pressure of one sort or another to be brought upon a station to take due cognizance of the homegrown talent. And I think in fairness, most stations do play Irish records. I think there's nothing wrong in a station being forced to consider the wealth of talent that there is in this country. And I think that it is clear to me from the length of time that I have worked with Capital Radio that that particular philosophy is very much on board in the station.
Go ahead.
Sorry, no, I thought we were going to take a phone call there. There is one point that I've always thought over the years regarding this, because it's actually a subject that is quite close to my heart, having been involved, A, as a musician, B, having been involved in RTE, where there is a very definite policy that they have to play a particular percentage of music. Within Irish music areas, when Irish bands go to record music, it often breaks down into two areas, and that is, one, the kind of band that wants to record almost a promotion for itself in order to do dances, for example, show bands and so on. They want to draw people into the dances, and they record a record merely as a promotional effort. There are other musical groups who I feel, in fact, concentrate on a greater sense of integrity. And I think that probably it would be nice to see musical groups, Irish origin, with great integrity being pushed very hard.
Yeah, because the talent is certainly out there. We'll take a call. Do we have a caller? Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing this evening?
Hip hip hooray, welcome. Our first caller through. It's
David, is that right?
Yeah,
tell
David. Hello, I'd just like to ask you what you think would be your greatest competition, like stations like Radio 2 or the forthcoming local radio stations.
Well, I'll give that one to Martin.
That's a difficult one to actually reply to, because let's put it this way, that everybody's our competition insofar as that Dublin is probably going to be the hardest market in Europe. We're going to have against us Radio 2, eventually Century will be coming up very shortly, and Radio 2000. So, it's going to be very, very difficult. And, of course, Radio 1, I mean, for the top end of the market, we're not actually competing against in the age group against them, but certainly for the younger audience that listen to Radio 1, we'll be competing against them. So it's a five-station market. And that's not forgetting Atlantic 252, that's the Luxembourg and the radio RTE connection. So everybody's our competition, everybody.
I think, is David still with us?
Yeah, I'm still
David,
there.
You've obviously been listening today, I assume.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in your views. How did you think the day went? And indeed, what type of radio would you like to listen to personally?
I thought it was going pretty okay as it was. I thought Radio 2 was good.
And indeed, I suppose it still is, and it's all
really
right.
Yeah, they have different selections of things and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So what type of radio would you like? Are you music-orientated, or do you also like news and current affairs?
Well, yeah, music mostly, yeah, but, like, you have to have the bit of news, I think, for the update sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to stay informed. Okay, well, thanks for your call, David.
Okay, thank you.
Enjoy the rest of the evening. Her number again is 780011. It certainly does seem as if we've ironed out the problems as far as the telephones are concerned, so your calls and comments are welcome on the issue of radio. It has been a hectic day, though, gentlemen. What about tomorrow? Another one of them?
Creeps on this petty pace from day to day. Petty, it certainly is not. Tomorrow, I mean, it possibly will be easier, and then we'll be a little bit more familiar with the territory, having done it once. What difficulties we did experience, and I have to say that they were very minor.
Mm-hmm.
We were very fortunate that there was no great hiccups, no great slip-ups or whatever. Probably due to the fact that we were dealing with people who had extensive experience in broadcasting already. I'm talking about the staff and the station itself, which is of an enormous advantage to us. And I expect that will get better as we refine our gathering techniques, our performance on air. So.
But look at the huge transition in radio, Mark, if any one of you can get in on this. From, say, 12 months ago, when things were really in such a heap and such a mess, and nobody knew what was going on. Indeed, up to 6 months ago, nobody knew. And now we have something in the region of over 20 radio stations coming on stream. It's a small country. It seems like an awful lot of radio stations. Do you think that they'll all last? Do you think that of course they will in the big cities, in the big metropolis areas, but I wonder, will every one of them cut the mustard, if you like?
Yeah, this is going to be a very, very difficult question to to answer. Oh, yeah, that's better, isn't it? It's very good when you can get the controls right. You know, I'm a bit rusty here today, actually. the on button, things are going wrong. It is live radio, folks. It's going to be very, very difficult for some, particularly down the country with smaller markets to cater for. I mean, one of the things that nobody's mentioned here this evening is the fact that this is commercial radio. And obviously, at the end of the day, we don't get a license fee from people. And what we've got to try and do is to capture audience by our programming philosophy, and turn that into revenue. And that's going to be very difficult in a five-market, as I was saying earlier, five-market sort of situation, five-radio station situation. And hopefully that, you know, we will do a top-class job. Down the country, for example, where there's going to be less than what? I suppose in some cases, 30 or 40,000 listeners. How are they going to pay for that programming philosophy, which is going to be 20% news and current affairs? We've all talked about it, very expensive, and producing maybe 24 hours of programming.
Just to come in briefly on that point, on a personal view, I used to travel quite a bit around the country, and I firmly believe that the time is right now where the public essentially want local radio. When you think of, say, satellite TV channels that are coming into the country and so on, I mean, as the global village philosophy becomes ever more a reality, and as every day the world seems to shrink, I think people are searching for their own identity. And I think when one looks to what stations will survive and what stations won't survive, I strongly believe that any station that firmly identifies with the local community around it stands a better chance than a station that is forced to deal with communities that perhaps don't feel that they are integrated together.
That's the key. We'll come back to that, because that is an interesting point. Let's try another telephone call. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. I was just wondering, you were saying you were thinking you're going to have soaps, maybe, or dramas.
Mm-hmm, something on the lines of EastEnders.
Yeah, just on the radio, like on the air.
The Archers, I guess.
Like, I'd be interested in doing it for you.
Fantastic offer. Well, I can say categorically over the air that if you are interested in that, it is down the road some way, but if you are interested, please contact us. We're interested in looking at New Irish Town. We're trying to develop that area.
Have you done this before?
Well, I do drama classes, and I like drama, and I'd like to do it. Like, I think it would be good fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the offer is there. She can pick up the phone and phone us and talk to me tomorrow, and we can set up an appointment.
That would be very interesting. Okay. Thanks for your call. 780-00-01. Okay. Bye-bye. 780-00-01. We were talking about the market around the country, and in the end of the day, it's advertising revenue, isn't it? I mean, that's the key. Isn't it true? I mean, if you're not making the bucks, then you're not going to survive.
But there is another side to this, too. That is true. There's no doubt about it. But it is also true that we're heading into a period, if we can believe the experts, the ESRI and people like that, that the advertising anyhow was predicted to expand by about, I think it was 15% over the coming few years. It's further predicted that we're heading in the short term into a boom period in this economy, with approximate 7% growth up to 1990 itself, and about 5% up to 1992. Now, that would also be channeled back into the economy, back into advertising, back into commercials for radio stations, etc. So I don't think we should take the doomsday attitude. People have tended to do this, which is why I suppose we've ended up in situations where we've had to, we've been unable to get our news service from an external source. Nobody's willing to take the risk because everybody's afraid. It's unknown territory. There's a lot of speculation about it. There is belief that because people have only got 30,000, for instance, of numbers and listeners, that they can't possibly succeed.
Mm.
But and of course, there's also the experience in Britain, which is very, very bad. And so many of the stations there from the mid-70s on went to the wall and had to be bought over by bigger stations. But that was a different context. They had also much more stronger strictures on them, those stations individually. Strictures that we don't have here.
What kinds of strictures, Patsy?
Well, technical strictures. They had to reach technical standards which were regarded as exorbitantly high. And the equipment concerned was also extremely expensive, which is another matter. Equipment. It's becoming increasingly cheaper. I mean, the costs of setting up a radio station nowadays are, in fact, becoming less and less as time goes by. Equipment like we're surrounded with here, I mean, highly sophisticated equipment, which, when we get used to, I mean, we'll be absolutely masterful. But it's becoming lighter. You need less space for it, so therefore you need to rent less space for it, yeah. I suppose, number one. And in itself, it's becoming cheaper all the time.
I wonder, is it fair to say that the constraints here are very severe? I don't know, Martin, maybe you can tell us what it's like in England, but I do know that in Canada, as far as news and current affairs, affair, whether it's AM radio or FM radio, because they're very separate. You can't have one and have the other. You must go for either one or the other. You really are not tied down to the amount of news coverage that you can have. You're not tied down to the amount of current affairs or music. But you are tied down to playing 33% Canadian music. And that's the law. And that's as far as I can ascertain. It didn't get any more stringent than that.
Right. Well, I don't know about that. I didn't really know that. But the thing is that as far as Britain is concerned, that there has been a sort of a current affairs ethos very, very similar to our own here. And that had played a very sort of difficult part in programming. Also, they had restrictions to sort of like restrictions to needle time. But what's happened is that they've actually split frequencies, and now they have an AM and an FM service. And I believe you've got a caller on the line
so maybe
we take that one first. I can ask that question later.
Okay, good evening. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for calling.
I'd just like to say a very big congratulations to you. Yesterday evening, when the actual ad was across all the papers, mm-hmm. and I knew you were coming on air this morning, I got such a high because at last there was something new, something fresh, which was bound to be exhilarating because of the people involved. And today has proven it's worth waiting for.
Well, I thank you for that. You enjoyed the day's broadcasting event.
So far it's been excellent, but there is one question. The music that you've been playing so far today has centered very much on the current chart scene. Do you intend to diversify at all into the previous years gone by and some of the fantastic music we've known from the years gone by? Or will it basically center around the current top 40 format, probably with current album tracks?
Okay, we'll ask our director of programming that, Martin Block.
To answer that question, well, we're basically a chart hit radio station during the week. At the weekend, we have a lot of oldies programs, like bebop programs. We will be developing this out. As I said earlier on, this is the foundation. We'll be widening it slightly. But we don't intend to play 60s and 70s music during the week. We'll obviously be looking at that situation, but we will have this Sunday more as a back-to-back bebop, records from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s, which will be appearing between 10 and 3 o'clock. But during the week, we're hoping to capture the market with a chart hit radio format, which is music for the last 3 or 4 years.
Well, it's more or less like a disco over the radio. You can nearly pump it up and start dancing away.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, I've been an ex-DJ myself, and it's just really great to hear the professionalism so soon, actually, after coming on air. And I assume plenty of rehearsal has gone into what we've heard today, and including the Newsbeat program, which I found most fascinating because of its original concept and style of presentation, using pop music, say the Holiday pieces mm-hmm. and the Walking on the Moon piece backing the Neil Armstrong story. Excellent stuff so far, and I very much do hope you keep the standard up that I expect you will anyway.
You seem to know your stuff, caller. You say you're a disc jockey. Did you get involved in radio at any stage?
Yes, I have myself been a DJ in 6 radio stations today.
6?
And good, managed yeah. 2.
You've been around?
I've been around. I have yet to become a square.
Oh,
but I
right.
hope that never happens.
Are you out of the business now?
Well, at the moment I'm doing a start your own business course, and I was hoping to get into some area of music. I wasn't quite sure how to regain and re-enter the new music field in Dublin of independent radio because of the proliferation of disc jockeys from Sunshine Q, who would probably have far better chance than I would of getting in, as they say.
Well, I will say that always have faith in yourself, because if you don't, nobody else will, I think.
Well, I'll certainly keep that in mind
all
and
right.
perhaps make a good demo someday.
Do that. Okay, and I thank you for your call.
And thank you, too.
Good evening.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. We were talking about the different systems in that. 780011 is a number. 780011. When they lay down specs, when the IRTC come along and say, this is the way we're going to do it, this is the way it's going to be, and we're going to ask them to do X, Y, and Z, where do they get those ideas? Do they look around the world and say, this is how it's being done in England or in America, so therefore we'll do it that way, we'll get a blend of laws and rules?
I think they looked at our closest sort of area there, which is Britain, and they looked at that in some detail, and also in the north, which is an excellent example as well, downtown radio. As I said, I think it's important that the ethos of independent broadcasting shouldn't be just music and nothing but music, and there has to be some information. Mark made an excellent point about smaller stations surviving and that they've got to concentrate on the locality. And I totally agree with that. And I think that this is where they're going to win out over any national station if they do that. And Capital, obviously, you know, dealing with a much bigger audience perhaps than somewhere down the country. But we've got a million people to cater for. We're obviously taking one target and trying to define that market and going after that area. And we've also got to be informative of what people in that target market, 15 to 35, want to hear. And we've obviously got to pay attention to what they want. We've come up with a programming philosophy which is backed by research, but we're also going to be checking it out on a daily and a weekly basis and refining our programming in speech and music to suit them. But information, I think, is what's happening around is important.
But how will you do that? Obviously, you'll want to get feedback from the ground. How will you actually ask listeners?
Yes, we will. I mean, we hope to develop a feedback program, which will be online with inside the next 2 months. That'll be one part of it. We'll also have a small research department team in-house, which will be vetting calls and checking up and seeing what people want, if they like our programs, if they don't, making notes, which obviously I'm going to check out. And of course, definable research on the streets from people who may not be already listeners.
It's down to the grassroots. There was a caller. There are so many facets of radio that you can get into, you know, so many different directions. And a caller from Castleknock wants to know if Capital will be doing programs on health, restaurants and entertainment and stuff like that. Consumer news, I guess, really.
Yes, we will be. We will be eventually. We may not be doing them as, to coin the pun, blocks of them, yes, exactly. But we'll be putting bits of lifestyle information in health and consumer response into some of our Newsbeat programs and some of the other features that we develop out during the rest of the coming weeks.
Because I know the IRN system, Patsy, I don't interrupt, but I know the IRN system and their feeds, which we receive from London Daily, they do a lot of magazine-type radio slots that you can actually take, you know?
This is true, but our fear there, I mean, we have yet to go into more detail in what the IRN would be supplying in that area to determine whether or not it is suitable for our particular market. In that context, I'd just like to come back to a point that Mark was making earlier on about the smaller stations identifying with the local community. I wouldn't say just smaller stations. I think Capital must also identify very, very strongly with its listeners in Dublin, mm-hmm. younger listeners. By the nature of our programming, it will be younger listeners. And I think that is at once where our strength will lie and where the source of most of our information will come from. And that's one area where we, as the news part of Capital, can play an enormous role in helping to cultivate that station identity, that closeness, that relationship between audience or listeners and radio station. And that is our intention, of course, as you know yourself. As regards programmes on health, etc., well, they will come within our area, probably more than likely in the speech information area. And, of course, we'll be doing programmes like that, programmes on those subjects, programmes on things like theatre, going out around town, whatever. We have lots of ideas on these types of programmes. You could spend the night listing them off. I don't know how many you submitted to the Commission, Martin, when you were actually making your submission last January, but you had a series of pages of these ideas. I recall reading them, and they're there. It's simply just a matter of getting the time to do them, and we're only starting off. It's our first day, and we will have plenty of time to do all these things, and we will be doing them.
Time is of the essence, I'm afraid. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take one call before we call it a night. Good evening. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I was just wondering, is this going to be the same every evening, would you not thought it would have been better to leave this type of discussion until tomorrow night?
I guess you have a point. Why? Why would you prefer to hear it tomorrow night as against tonight?
Well, I personally turn on the radio this time of evening to listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually listen to radio too, seeing there's nothing else to listen to. But this evening, I turned it on and I heard yourself talking. I listened for about 15 minutes earlier on today while I was on my lunch hour and there was music playing. Would you not thought it would have been better to have it during the lunch hour period?
Well, I'll let Martin answer that, but I think, obviously, because it's the first day and we got through our first day's broadcasting, it is a good idea, I think, personally.
That's it. It's a special program, this open line program, which we've done. Obviously, we expected to get more phone calls in from listeners, but we've had a problem with the phones, which we've now rectified. But this is just a special for today because of the day that's in it.
Yeah, and I was just wondering, would you be playing Irish bands?
Yes, we will.
The Pirates were.
You've given me the opportunity to reply to Mark, which I got cut off earlier on. But I said previously that we will be developing a programme in the evenings to promote Irish groups and a lot of new talent that hasn't been heard on the radio, and giving them an opportunity to form part of our playlist as things develop.
Yeah, Well, all I say is fair play, and good luck.
Well, I thank you for that.
Okay.
Have a good evening.
Right, good evening.
All right, gentlemen, I want to very briefly, quickly just run around. One day is down. I think we're all fairly positive that we had a good day. Patsy, the future? Optimistic, obviously?
Lots of work.
Hard work. Lots of grafting. Mark, ever the optimist?
Well, after the beginning of this first day, I have to say that I feel that the team, both the music team and the news team and the current affairs team, are looking forward to a tremendous challenge and one which we're going to rise to.
Mm-hmm. And Martin?
Exactly the same. Great challenge, and we're going to go out there and sock it to you.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining me in studio. Martin Block, Patsy McGarry, and my colleague, Mark Costigan. And thank you for listening. We're going to leave it at that. 11:01. I'm Neil Prendeville. We'll see you tomorrow.